Morning. It's good to be with you today. I'd like to just tell you a few words here in the introduction of my lesson, and I'll explain what these words mean in a minute. Blicky. Swim worms. Cheese worms. Hamster fan. I'm sleepy, meepy, peepy. I think Randy has lost it. None of his lessons make sense. This is no different than any of them. Skrink. All those words make perfect sense in the Jamerson house. Ethan used to couldn't pronounce drink, and I would say, "Don't drink my drink." He said, "I didn't skrink your skrink. You know, don't skrink my skrink." And so we still call it a skrink today. My sister, when she didn't like something, she didn't say it tasted yucky. She said it tasted blicky. And so that has stuck with us. You know, if we don't like something, it's blick. Ooh, blick. Now, none of you probably say that. Now you will. When I was in high school, I liked play around with electronics, and I had a little motor that I took a propeller from a balsa wood airplane, and I attached it to that motor, and I hooked that up to a flashlight, and it made a fan, and so I could turn that fan on and off. Now they have those that you can buy. Everybody has one of those, but my friend in high school called it a hamster fan. I don't know why he called it a hamster. Randy has a hamster fan, so that Jarell's got a hamster fan that she takes to football games. And so that's our name for that. When Jarell was interning in school, she was on a psych ward, I think, and there was a patient that everything that she said rhymed. Her name, she would say, is Deborah Mebra Pebra. And I'm hungry, mungry, pungry. And she's sleepy, meepy, peepy. So when we get ready to go to bed, I'm going to bed, I'm sleepy, meepy, peepy. You know, so we've picked that up. You know, we'll say that. Cheese worms, probably figured that one out. You know, that's string cheese, and that's what the kids called it when they were little. Pool noodles are swim worms. And so we called those swim worms. So those are just a few of the interesting things you can learn at the Jamerson house that you may not have known before. So why do I bring that up? Well, we, as I have mentioned before, we're going to spend some time in the book of Proverbs, and we are going to rotate every few weeks on these lessons. We're going to do lessons once a month in the book of Proverbs, once a month on the subject of the cross, and once a month in the book of Philippians. And then the other week will just be something else. But when you look at the book of Proverbs, Solomon spends a lot of time talking to his son about who he spends time with on a regular basis. And why is that? Well, I think we all realize that. We all, especially those that are parents, you want to be careful of who it is that your kids spend time with. Why is that? Well, if a kid comes home and says something and you've never heard that before, where did you hear that? Where did you pick that up? Who did you hear say that? And hopefully they don't say they heard it from you. They heard it from someone else. But the thing is that we understand that people rub off on us. And we begin to speak like other people speak. And the reason that I mentioned those words this morning is because, you know, some of those things I was already saying when we got married, like blicky, because Jill had always said that growing up. Another one is that if she didn't think something was funny and she was irritated, she would yell at her brothers and say, "N-O funny, boys." You know, it's not fun. She wouldn't say it's not funny. She'd say, "N-O funny." And so we still do that whenever we think something's not funny. We'll spell it out. N-O funny. You know, no, other people would think that we're crazy, but You know, we've rubbed off on each other in those ways. And Solomon, he gives us a lot of warnings in the book of Proverbs. And sometimes this assimilation, you know, happens involuntarily. And I think you probably all are thinking of things in your family that you may say that other people don't. It may be that as a child or a toddler, a child mispronounced something. And so that's what you have ended up saying all this time. Or it may be that's the name of the grandmother and the grandfather that has stuck around because it all came from something that was being said wrong and it just stuck. Anybody that's been married for any significant amount of time, that they will recognize that they are a different person now than they were when they got married. And the reason is because of that relationship with that spouse. So therefore, it makes a lot of sense that Solomon wants to warn his son about his companions because we become like them. And that is a problem if you don't pick the right kind of friends. And so we want to talk this morning about the value of friends, as is told to us in the book of Solomon, or book of Proverbs, written by Solomon. So one of the things that was very common that I heard growing up is you are what you eat. And you hear that. It was told to us in school. And anytime I saw one of my brothers eating a dum-dum sucker, I'd say, you are what you eat, dum-dum. And so we hear that over and over. Well, Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will cause harm. So, you know, this is very useful. The implied meaning is that you would expect this to say, whoever walks with the wise is going to become wise. You know, we want that to rub off on us. And if we walk with fools, what's going to happen then? Well, you're going to become foolish too. So there's this contrast here that is given. Spending time with fools is going to make you a fool, but it's also going to make you suffer harm. So let's keep these things in mind as we go through the lesson today, as we talk about the value of friends, is that the problem is that good or bad, we become like those that we are around. Just like, you know, family members have picked up things from each other, whether it be sayings or behaviors or likes and dislikes. For example, Jarell was never in band when she was growing up, but does she like marching bands now? Yes, she does, because she was around us, and the boys were in it, and she got interested in it. And there's a lot of things that we become interested in because of those that we are around. So let's talk about the value of friends. Number one, friends can be a great source of comfort to us. And in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, it says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. So we have those that are casual acquaintances that we don't know too well or spend a whole lot of time around, but a friend is described here as somebody that's always there for you. Somebody that is going to be there for you, and they'll be there in good times and in bad times. And I'm sure that we all have those people that are close to us that if we were going through something that was stressful, or we needed advice, or we just needed somebody to listen to us, or to cry with us, that would be the person that we would talk to. We wouldn't pick up the phone and just call some random number. That would not seem appropriate, would it? Or talk to some, you know, we've got a situation, you know, where I'm employed, that we have somebody that talks way too much to the customers about his personal life. And, you know, that seems a little odd, doesn't it? It's a little odd and that he would do that. It does not seem appropriate. But the friend is somebody that you would definitely, you know, talk to, and it is especially appropriate for Christians and brothers and sisters in Christ to talk to one another, and as James tells us, to confess one another to one another. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And that is that's a strong statement, the friend that is closer than a brother. Normally, brothers would be close. I know sometimes that's not always the case. And those of you that are younger brothers right now, maybe you are not real close. You fight all the time now, but one day you'll be closer to one another. I'm close. I like my brothers now that I don't live with them, you know. This proverb is very true, that there is, you can have unreliable friends that will bring you to ruin, but in some cases that value of that friend, that source of comfort that you receive, is even better than a family relationship. Also, friends can be valuable in that they provide wise counsel. The heartfelt counsel of a friend is as sweet as perfume and incense. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 9. And so, you know, some translations say that it delights the heart to have this kind of friend that provides this good counsel. And what better thing could you have than someone who offers you good counsel? You may have those that you have relationships with that you'd never take their advice. You know, it could be that their advice has not been sound, or their life is a wreck. You know, and so a good friend that is a source of good counsel, Solomon says, is a very valuable thing. And so I see this as being great advice that Solomon is giving here about the value of a friend. Also in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 14, the value of counsel in general is seen, where it says, where there is no guidance, the people fall, but in abundance of counselors, there is victory. And I've always liked this. Sometimes you hear that there is, you can seek too much counsel. In the business world, sometimes you call it paralysis by analysis, that you're getting so many pieces of advice that you never get any work done. You never get out of the planning stage, and so there's that side of it. But in general, counsel is good. Why should we respect those who are older than us? Why should kids respect their parents? Well, they're commanded to do it, number one. But what's another reason? Because you've been there and done that. And like teachers have been there, done that, got the t-shirt. But we have had experience. Those that are older have had experience that they can pass on to those that are younger than them. And those that are wise will seek the value of good counsel. And you would know where to find that good counsel. And it certainly would be somebody that is faithful to the Lord. So a friend who offers comfort and can be provided to, trusted to provide good counsel, is certainly a great blessing. And so this tells us that we should be careful in the choice of our friends. If friends are good for counsel, well, what does that tell you? Choose those that you're going to get good advice from. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26 says, "The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray." And that's something that certainly good parents always hammer into their children. At least my parents did. They always wanted to know where I was going and who I was going to be with. And there was no way of tracking that back when I was growing up. There was no GPS, nothing that they could have put on my phone. See, the phones we had a cord on them, and they were attached to the house. And so if we were going somewhere, they wanted to make sure, and since they weren't going to be able to contact us while we were gone, who are you going with and where are you going? And they were very careful about that, and should be. And Solomon says that's exactly right. You choose your friends carefully. Because if you don't, you can be led astray. So here's some examples that the wise writer gives us of friends you don't want. Friends you do not want. First of all, those that gossip. But they're so much fun to be around. I learned so much from those people. Well, maybe you're learning things that you really don't have any business knowing. Or maybe you have a very open ear to those things, and your ear should not be open to. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19 says, "A gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much." Isn't that interesting? And that's not always the way that we go or the choice that we make. If somebody asks us a question about what's going on at a certain place, and you say, "Well, you know, I don't know the answer, but I know somebody that would." So what does that mean? Well, you know somebody that's likely to gossip, or somebody that has somebody else gossiping to them. And Proverbs says, this is somebody that you don't want. Avoid that person who talks too much, who betrays confidences. So that's an example of a friend you don't want. Also, those that are short-tempered. Verse 24 of Proverbs 22, "Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways." And we all see the beneficial advice in that. Have you ever been around somebody that was short-tempered, lost their temper all the time, that couldn't control themselves? I was with some friends the other night, and they were telling me about their brother who was having dementia problems. And one of the problems that he had when he was younger was with his temper, and he learned, you know, through being the godly man that he was, that he learned how to control his temper. But now that he's having problems with his mental state, he's kind of diverting back and getting really worse because of the dementia that he's having. They never know what he's going to say. They never know what's going to pop out of his mouth. And they, you know, taking him to church and Bible class, there's just no telling what he's going to say. That it's could be very entertaining for some folks, but it's very distressing for the family because he has no control of his brain to control what comes out of his mouth. And we understand that when there's that kind of problem that comes with old age and disease. But what about those of us that can control it? There's nothing wrong with our brain. There's just something wrong with our mouth that we won't keep it closed, and that we are an angry person. And Proverbs says this is the kind of person you don't want to be around. Why? Well, remember what we said. What happens in our family? Jarell and I have picked up phrases from each other, and we say those like they make sense. Yeah, well, we have become like each other because we've been around each other for a long time. And we will become like those that we associate with. And so Solomon says the best way to handle yourself and be the kind of person that you ought to be is to avoid those that are going to drag you into the wrong direction. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 20 says, "Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags." And so, friends you don't want, what kind of person do you want to be? Well, you don't want to be a winebibber, you don't want to be a drunk, or a glutton. And so, more advice on what to stay away from. Also, Proverbs chapter 24, verses 21 and 22. My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change, for their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both? And this is a little bit more obscure. Not with them given to change. And so those that are just going to be blown with the wind and go in any direction, they have no stability, is the way that I took this. And that's not the way that you want to be. Also, very appropriate in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 18, a man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a war club or a sword or a sharp arrow. Trusting in a treacherous man in the time of trouble is like a bad tooth or a foot that slips. Whoever sings a song to a heavy heart is like one who takes off a garment on a cold day, and like vinegar on soda. So you hear these expressions here, and what are they describing? All these things that kind of make the hair stand up on your arm, the bad tooth or the foot that falls. Those certainly are not things that we want. Anybody that's had a bad tooth knows that's a horrible thing. And what is that like? Well, it's like the liar, the one who bears false witness. We talked about that in Bible class today. Those who bore false witness against Stephen. And obviously, we're supposed to be away from those who are untrustworthy and not become like them. Also, Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 through 19, which was read for us this morning. And this proverb talks about those that are given to violence, those that lie in wait to do evil, those that are always planning to destroy someone else. That's not what you are supposed to be, and that's not the kind of friend that you want. And so the wise writer says, my son, if someone entices you, don't consent. Don't you go off in this direction. When I read the book of Proverbs, it's just like listening to my mom and dad. Because over and over I think, yep, I've been told that. And what a great blessing it is to have godly parents that will warn you in the ways that the Scriptures do. But this also reminds us of how much common sense there is, how much wisdom there is in this book. That it's very, very effective in what it tells us to do if we would just do that. So, we talked about friends you don't want. Well, what about friends that you do? Friends that you do want. Well, obviously you want friends that will lead you in the right direction. Those who display wisdom themselves. Proverbs 13, verse 20, he that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 14, the law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. And so those that are wise themselves are ones that we would want to follow. When you go and purchase a book, it may be some kind of self-help book. It may be something that you want to learn more about that particular subject. Well, who usually writes those kind of books? Somebody that's been down that road before? Somebody that has had success in that area? If your work hires somebody to come in and give some kind of speech or give some kind of training, you want to know what kind of background they have, what kind of experience do they have. In my industry, in the printing industry, we have what's called a commercial print rev, and those, commercial printing is people that make money from printing, print for pay, like places that charge for printing. And the people that are usually successful in selling equipment to those people have had experience in the printing industry. That makes a lot of sense. But you know what happens is people will be put into that position that have no experience with that particular industry. And what I say is when you walk into a printing plant, the customer can smell the lack of ink all over you. Because if you've got ink in your veins, as we say, then you understand their problems. You understand what it is that they need, because you have been on that side of the business before. But so when we look for wisdom, who is it that we look to? It's very obvious. You look to somebody that has experience. You look to someone that is wise. And whatever, you know, subject it is, if somebody wanted advice on how to fix a car, they're not going to come to me. Or they shouldn't, because I'm just going to Google it. So we understand in our life, who do we go to? Well, the friends that you do want are the ones that are godly. The ones that are going to lead you in the right direction to train you in the way of wisdom. And we've already mentioned the benefits of righteous friends, the ones that stick to you closely in your darkest hour. And what happens when you do that, you will have a better life by having good friends. Very obvious. You will become wise by being around wise people. And so, we need to remember that. So, that leads us to our next point, is that we want to talk about maintaining friendships. I saw a shirt just this past week, and it said, "I love hunting and three other people." And I took a picture of it because I wanted to get it for Ethan. "I love hunting and three other people." What did that say? You know, and the guy's wife was laughing about it and said she made that shirt for him, and he wore it very proudly. And so, you know, I have no idea about anything about the guy that was wearing that shirt, but he seemed pretty friendly to me. So I think it was more of a joke, hopefully, than it was that I don't like anybody. You know, I've got my wife and I've got my two kids, and those are the only people that I like. And I'm not even sure if I like them. I'm sure the shirt was a joke. What does it say when somebody doesn't have friends? It's usually that they're not a friend. It's usually that they are not friendly. That they are some kind of recluse or some kind of hermit, or they are so inapproachable, or so horrible to be around that they don't have any friends. Well, when you look at the book of Proverbs, it tells you how to be a good friend, and it tells you that friends are a very valuable thing. That being said, there are things that will disrupt friendships, and we've already hinted at a lot of these things. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." So the wrong kind of friends can be a corrupting influence, and those things that disrupt the friendships. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 14. "The beginning of strife is is as when one lets out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with." And when I was preparing for this lesson, some of the translations that I looked at, it said it's like a dam where water is being released. And I thought, that's interesting. And so, you know, having strife is like water, you know, doing a lot of damage. And it reminds you of the instruction that we have here about the tongue and about gossip and, you know, senseless arguments. And so the tongue can be something that can definitely disrupt our relationships. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 17. I found this a very, very interesting one. "Let your foot rarely be in your neighbor's house, or he will become weary of you and hate you." I don't know how much of a problem that is today, because people don't usually drop in on each other these days. But when my dad was growing up, that was a very common thing, that people would drop in. And when he was single, I think he would drop in about supper time, see if something good might happen. But that, when you lived in the country and lived back in those days, I think that was a little more common. And this illustration here might have had a little more impact, that let your foot rarely be in your neighbor's house, so he'll become weary of you. We say, don't wear out your welcome. And have you ever had, I think we all have had this happen from time to time, where you have people over and it's getting kind of late, and you're just ready to tell them, well, you know, here's the key, and when you get ready to leave, you can turn off the light, because we're going to bed. And if you want to turn off the lights when you leave. And so that's usually a not-so-subtle hint that, hey, maybe it's time for this party to end. But the illustration here is appropriate, that's used. How are you going to maintain friendships? Well, don't overstay your welcome. I don't know that that's a big problem these days. I think that brethren ought to spend more time with each other and not less. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 18, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I'm only joking. So, yeah, humor is good, but you know, this is talking about somebody that's very destructive. And certainly you can think of situations where someone uses real barbs and weapons with their mouth, maybe with their family or with others, and says things that are very hurtful. And they said, I was just kidding. Nah, that's not a good excuse. This is like somebody that throws arrows. This is like somebody that uses weaponry. And here, in particular, it's talking about those who deceive his neighbor and says, well, I'm just kidding. No, you know, watch yourself. Don't destroy your relationships with your reckless behavior. Also, being a talebearer, as we've already mentioned, where no wood is, there the fire goes out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. This is just common sense, isn't it? If people aren't gossiping about each other and talking about things that they shouldn't be talking about, you know, what happens? Well, somebody's reputation is spared. Just a few weeks ago, there was a situation in our neighborhood, and I'm not going to go into what happened, but there were some problems at a house, and a street was blocked off for a period of time. Well, you know what happens? People want to know what's going on. What's going on? Why are those police cars there? And the Helena gossip pages on Facebook are very alive. Anytime there's a police car, there's somebody on there wanting to know what's going on there. Does anybody know why there were three police cars at this address? And so somebody decided, well, here's what happened. It's because this happened to this person and they reacted this way. And then somebody else came on and said, none of that's true. You delete your post. You don't know what happened. So what was done in the meantime? Well, there was a lot of damage that was done, or people talking about something that they really didn't know about. Where there's no wood, the fire goes out. Oh, but we just keep piling on wood, don't we? And that's, social media is very good at that. We know all kinds of things that we shouldn't know about. But let's not be the cause of that strife. Let's not keep putting wood on the fire, the wise writer says. Also, as coals are to burning coals and wood is to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. So this really, you know, along the same line, but in particular here, talking about being contentious. This is saying that a person that's contentious is really not a peacemaker, he's a strife maker. And so don't be that person. And that will certainly disrupt friendships. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 14, he who blesses his neighbor with a loud voice early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse by him. And so this is really talking about flattery. Don't be so loud and boisterous in your flattery, and that's not a good thing. And there's certainly a lot of other advice in the scriptures about false flattery. Having good friends is something that can be very valuable to us. And so the wise writer says, how can you solve problems with your friends? Number one, make sure that you are at peace with the Lord. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Isn't that true? That if you know somebody that's really trying to live their life by the Word of God, and you can see that in the things that they do, in the things that they say, in the relationships that they have, the people that they influence, if they are at peace with the Lord, a good byproduct of that is they're going to be at peace with their fellow man. And if you're not at peace with others, then maybe there's a problem with our relationship with the Lord. Solving problems with our friends. Make sure you're at peace with the Lord. And also be slow to anger. Proverbs 15, verse 18. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. Be a peacemaker. Be one that is not going to keep adding wood to the fire. Also a very common proverb for us to hear is, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. Have you ever watched a game show where they're asking a question and somebody buzzes in before the question is complete? And they give an answer that has nothing to do with the question, because they didn't hear the question. They thought they knew what it was going to be, and then they responded. If you watch a lot of politics on TV or press conferences and things, you know, have you ever heard a politician respond to a question in the middle of whatever they were tap dancing around? They come back and now, what was the question again? Because they got a stump speech, or they've got something that they want to say that really has nothing to do with the question. And then if they're honest, they might say, oh, well, I kind of lost track of the question. Or maybe the reporter will bring them back to it and say, well, you know, that's all fine and good, but you didn't answer the question. And that's very, very common these days when you hear a politician speak, is that they're either not listening or they're not responding to it on purpose. But the wise writer says that's foolish to give an answer before you hear. It is your folly and shame if you give an answer before you hear. So don't always be thinking about what you're going to be saying next. And I have that problem sometimes. I'll just tell you one example. This morning in Bible class, there was a point that I was thinking about, and I thought, no, we're not there yet. You know, it's later in the lesson. And I'll let Michael get to it first. You know, but sometimes we do that. You know, oh, I've got something brilliant to say. No, I'm not going to say that right now. Now, be slow to speak. Be swift to hear and slow to speak. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 3, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. And so, avoid quarreling. Yeah, very practical advice there to solve problems with your friends. Just quit being argumentative all the time. Quit looking for reasons to be ornery. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. Also, along the same lines, just speak gently. You know, find there's better ways to say something. And my father many times he would respond to something that he heard that was wrong, or maybe there was a situation that he wanted to write an article about. And if it was something he felt very passionately about, he would always have my mom read it before he sent it off. And a lot of times she'd say, "Now, Frank, you may win the argument, but you're going to lose the friend." And so he'd go back and fix it. You know, he'd go back and, how many of us have a draft folder on our computer? And there's a lot of things in the draft folder that you're glad that you didn't send, because you just needed to think about it a little bit more in the way that you said it. Find the gentle way to say it and turn away wrath, and you'll have a lot more good influence on others. So that will help you have and keep friends. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19, "In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he who that refrains his lips is wise." And so this is just saying, if in the multitude of words there's problems, but those that keep their mouth shut are wise. And also be quick to show love. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. And finally, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 23. "He that rebukes a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth the tongue." And so that may seem a little bit different advice than some of the ones that we just read, but this also said there's a time to speak and there's a time to keep quiet. And sometimes there's a time for a rebuke. And a good friend will do that when it's necessary. So how do you solve problems with your friends? Well, be slow to anger, be slow to speak, but speak up when you need to speak up. And don't tell somebody that, don't flatter them when they don't need to be flattered. The classic example of that is that the emperor has no clothes. The emperor's new clothes. Nobody wanted to tell him, "Hey, what you're wearing's not appropriate." So, properly applying the wisdom of God that's found in this great wisdom literature is going to assure us that we can enjoy the blessings of good friends in this life. And certainly one of the things that we can all look forward to is having these good friends and associations that we have now when we can be together in heaven for eternity. So let's rely on the wisdom literature and the good wise words that we have so we don't have to do all this trial and error and mess up relationships and then go and try to repair them. It'd be better for us just to learn from the wisdom that we have and benefit from that as we try to live our life for the Lord. If we can help in any way respond to the invitation today, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.
Why not die? the grass folder. I have literally used that at work. I just got rid of one. I'll tell you, I just got rid of one the other day, and I've had it in that folder for about 3 weeks. And if I had responded the way that I felt like doing it at the time, I might have felt better about it, but I recognize the repercussions that might have come from that. Not get fired or something, just it would have been an argument, I think, for a loss. And so I think this was better just to let it sit there. And after 3 weeks, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, and a lot of water come under the bridge, and I said, yeah, there's no point in spurring that back up. That thing might not be responsible. Also, one of your last points there at the end, maybe think something. Just in the last week or so, one of the things that Randy was talking, I kept thinking, is that we keep calling things social media, but, you know, sometimes it's really like that old cartoon I used to read in the newspaper on Sunday afternoon called Snuffy Smith. I don't know if you remember that. You don't get the point. But it was this hillbilly country of people that didn't have any technology or whatever, and they literally used to still go out to the fence and talk with each other, and they shared all the gossip about what was going on, hardly any of us ever liked. Well, remember, Facebook is about that. Instagram, Snapchat, they're just about that. If you believe everything you see on those, then you know, you're really defeated involved. And sometimes the people are either trying to put out either what they think is truth or they're deluded themselves and they don't do it right. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 22, Paul told Timothy, lay hands suddenly on no man, need to be particular other than sins, keep thyself pure. I've really tried to take that to heart over the years. So what Paul's saying there is, do not immediately accept things. Don't rush to good judgment or bad judgment. Let things play out a little bit before you start to lend your name on it. And I commented on this post the other day, trying to be encouraging. But then Randy actually knew a lot more about it and shared it with me, and I pulled my comment back off. Just gave him a little bit done with my kind of that impression. And let me just encourage you, the same way we kind of talk about with the grass folder, watch your comments. I don't know what other people do, good or bad. If this was an attempt to do something that all appearances would be good, but it was not. And when more information came out about it, I didn't want to be associated with that. But I responded, even trying to be encouraging, too quickly. We got to watch all of these things. Let's be careful out there with our reputation, with our laying our hands on other men, other people, and the things that we do so we don't do the same sin. Even if it's trying to do something good. Wait and see if things go well and pursue what you're doing. Stay in all appearances. Thank you for the lessons. Lots and lots of good things. And hopefully that thing back goes a lot to do. With all that, the sermon and the lady comment now, we'll go close the song this morning. So let's go to God in prayer. Yes, do any of the men have anything you'd like to say before we dismiss? Let's go to God in prayer before meeting again Wednesday evening.
Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that you give us the opportunity to come together to join with those of like mind and spirit. Father, we look forward to the day when we may be joined with you to do such in your presence. We're so thankful for those around the world who shine as lights in great times of trial and distress. We pray that you will continue to be with all of us as we go through this life. Help us to always seek to be a good friend to those around us by sharing your Son's name with those that we meet upon the path. Because, Father, we know that there is no other way except through Him. We know that your words are always true, and we're so thankful for that. We thank you for the leadership we have here, and we pray that it will continue to be strong and guided by your word, which is truly a great blessing. Be with the leaders of our city and our state this week, that they may seek your counsel, do what is right in your sight and not in their own eyes. Because we know that your judgments are always righteous. Protect us and guide us. Protect us from the temptations of this world, that we may enter into the place being prepared for us at this time. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.